we hear an answer now to critics of the U.S. approach to Iran. The United States has been trying to resume an agreement over Iran's nuclear program. Iranians would accept limits on their nuclear activities, and the U.S. would lift some sanctions. Negotiations have dragged but not officially died, and human rights activist Hadi Gaimi told us this week the United States should just pull out given Iran's recent repression of protesters.
The entire administration's Iran policy has been just about the nuclear negotiations, and I think now they're cut a little bit flat-footed, a huge infusion of cash to this government at this moment, I believe, is the wrong policy.
The American leading the nuclear talks is Rob Malley, and he's on the line once again. He's President Biden's envoy for Iran. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Should the nuclear talks continue in these circumstances?
Well, listen, I have a lot of respect for Hadi, and he's somebody who we talk to frequently, but I just think on this issue he's wrong about what our policy has been. From day one, President Biden had a policy which his whole team has executed of pushing back against Iran's destabilizing activities in the region through sanctions, through interdictions, working with our partners. We've had a policy of supporting the basic fundamental rights of ordinary Iranians, and that's where the focus is today, given what's happening, and I'm sure we'll talk about it. On the streets of Tehran and throughout the country, young women, schoolgirls, men, with extraordinary courage standing up for their basic fundamental rights to be able to live and wear what they want. And yes, third, we have tried to achieve a nuclear deal because the president is absolutely committed to promote the interests of the American people in preventing Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon.
Okay, so if somebody says the U.S. policy about Iran is just about the nuclear negotiations, you're saying that is just false. But I think your critics would suggest that the U.S. soft-pedals other issues in order to get the nuclear deal. Is there still a benefit to pursuing the nuclear deal, particularly if it forces you to be careful on other issues?
So, I mean, I'm sure the critics said that. I don't see where there's been soft-pedaling. I mean, the president has used ordered military action when necessary to protect our troops against Iran-backed militia. Sanctions have been leveled against Iran, not just on human rights issues, which are very important, and a number of them were issued again yesterday. But again, none of that should make it impossible for the United States to also persevere in trying to reach a nuclear deal, because the alternative is an Iran that violates the rights of its people, destabilizes the region, and gets close to acquiring a nuclear bomb.
Rob Malley, we have an opportunity here because, of course, you don't get to talk directly with the Iranians at this point. The Iranians won't allow it. They make you talk through intermediaries. But recently, this program did get to talk with the Iranian foreign minister, Hossein Amir Abdollahian, so we can sort of have a dialogue, play a little bit of that conversation and hear your response. The foreign minister told us last week the United States should stop hoping that his government will fall. Let's listen.
I'm assuring them that there is not a big deal going on in Iran. There is not going to be a regime change in Iran. And don't play to the emotions of the Iranian people.
Okay, Rob Malley, does the United States want regime change in Iran?
What the United States wants is a government in Iran that is respectful of the fundamental rights of its people, because they want to be able not to wear a headscarf or to live their lives in ordinary ways, and yet they face an oppressive system. And that's what we're seeing. And, you know, we hear Iranian officials blame the U.S., blame Israel, blame others. They shouldn't look so far. They should look closer at home.
When he says don't play to the emotions of the Iranian people, I think he's referring to U.S. efforts to encourage internet freedom in Iran, U.S. statements in favor of the protesters. Are you playing with the emotions of protesters who the United States ultimately can't help that much?
Nobody is demonstrating because of the United States. Nobody in Iran is angry at their government because of the United States. They're angry because of the policies of their government.
Let's continue this sort of dialogue with Iran here, because Iran's foreign minister also told us, he claimed that you were close to a nuclear deal and that Iran is just asking for a few clarifications. Let's listen to how he put it.
But we don't know really if the American side is realistic enough to make the decision it is required to make. Does the United States have enough courage to make the difficult decision or not?
His suggestion was you just have some political difficulties at home and you need to deal with them. Do you accept any part of that characterization?
You and I have spoken about this quite a few times in the past. There was a deal on the table that we didn't put on the table, the European Union did. And all the other participants were okay with it in March. Then again over the summer. Then again in August. And each time, Iran has come up with some new request, some new demand, most of the time either an unrealistic demand or one that was extraneous to the nuclear talks, something that had nothing to do with it. So this is not just a U.S. point of view. It's the point of view of all of our European partners and the others who've negotiated with Iran. They think a good deal has been on the table for months. It's up to Iran to decide.
We also asked the foreign minister about American citizens held in Iran. We nearly always do that when we have a chance to talk with Iranian officials. And he said Iran was ready to trade for prisoners, a trade. And then just days later, we learned that Iran had released Bakr Namazi, who'd been in prison for some time, a furlough for his son Siamak Namazi, another U.S. citizen who'd been in prison for some time. Is Iran receiving anything in exchange for those moves?
No, but I first have to say it was wonderful news. I mean, I've been talking regularly with Bakr Namazi's family. What an extraordinary man. You know, his son was imprisoned, unjustly imprisoned on false accusations in Iran. He, at the age of 80, traveled to Iran to try to get his son released, and they imprisoned him. I mean, imagine the cruelty. And so he's been either in detention or under house arrest for 6.5 years. Finally, they let him leave. We're now going to do everything we can to get the three other American citizens who are still wrongfully detained in Iran out, and we won't stop until that day comes.
But just so I understand this, there have been reports out of Iran suggesting the Iranians got some financial benefit out of this. The Iranians themselves have explicitly said they wanted to trade for prisoners. Are you sure there's nothing they received for releasing this man?
I am absolutely confident. Sure, I know this. That's not true. In fact, I think the Iranians themselves have, since there have been those reports, said that there was no exchange of anything. There was no quid pro quo. They let Bakr and Namazi leave. We are in indirect discussions with Iran to secure the freedom of the remaining citizens, Imad Sharghi, Siamak Namazi, the son of Bakr, and Murad Tabaz, but nothing was traded.
Will there need to be a trade for the other prisoners?
Again, I don't want to get into the details of our discussions. I'd say we're looking at what we can do on the humanitarian side, mutual steps, to make sure that our citizens are home and they're home as soon as possible.
Robert Malley is the United States Special Representative for Iran. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. Always a pleasure.